This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV? And we are brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. EMP180weightloss.com. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning, final day of February, February 28th, 2018. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Morning. Johnny Cake Sawville's here.
Hello.
And Jason Bishop, you hanging in there?
A couple good wins by the locals last night.
That was a vicious cough right before you jumped on the air.
Yeah, choking? Is what it is. No, I'm fine.
Look like your eyes are getting a little teary. That was a vicious attack.
It's all allergies, man. I got a lot of allergies this time of year.
I live with it, too.
Cakes.
It blows. You know, the good news is, though, that means that the weather's changing. It's a changing.
Yes. Nice yesterday.
It's decent, right?
I thought it was pretty nice. I took my daughter out for a long walk yesterday. I took my daughter for a walk to a lake, assuming the lake would have a few geese or ducks to look at, and there wasn't one.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it.
Well, do all lakes have ducks or geese?
That particular lake, which is in my neighborhood, typically has ducks and geese. And I see geese sometimes in the grassy areas by the parks. Mm-hmm. So I assume, walk all the way down to the damn lake, and there's nothing in there.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And I heard all kinds of birds chirping. It was nice. Sun was out. It was beautiful. I felt like it was a wasted walk. Like, well, I guess we'll look at the trees.
Wanted to see more nature.
Eh, you know, for an 11-month-old.
I think it's fine. I think she was good with it. Did anything to get out of the house.
She doesn't know what a duck is.
Exactly.
Definitely knows what a duck is.
An 11-month-old knows what a duck is.
Yeah.
Can she say duck?
I mean,
duck?
Knows it's an animal.
Can she say the word she duck?
Well, if you interpret it to be duck, because she says dad, 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 dad.
Yeah, I'm with Cakes. I'm not sure she quite knows what the...
She might, may not be able to distinguish a duck from a goose.
Yeah, because I sure can't.
But she knows what animals are.
You know a duck from a goose.
I mean, maybe.
Come on. You've been at Blue Mash a billion times. Tom Healy wants to kill every single goose that's on his course because they leave turds all over the place.
Right.
Ducks aren't anywhere near that
Just
course.
Just tell her that Peyton Manning used to throw a lot of those.
Yeah, that's a lot of wobblers.
Hey, in the later years.
Yeah.
In the later years. If you watch the Super Bowl against the Bears.
Duckies.
Weren't as many wobblers.
Yeah, you're right. Later years.
No, he kind of always did, I think.
But Jason mentioned it. Two big wins for the locals last night. Impressive win by the Wizards, I thought. They blew a 21-point lead, but held on to beat Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks. He actually had a chance to tie it, but Markieff Morris played pretty good defense, forced him to a little fadeaway jumper, and he's not consistent outside of 4 feet. He's a great player, but if he's outside of 4 or 5 feet, he's not consistent.
And the Wizards are now 10-3. Wallace. Mm.
And they had 30 assists again last night.
And by the
night.
Way, the Wizards have covered 8 of their last 9 road games.
Ooh, that's tasty.
8-1 in the last 9 ats on the road.
They are averaging 30 assists per game without John Wall. This is a significant sample size now. Again, last night, 30 assists. And 30 assists would lead the NBA by far. If that was their season-long total
put
assists
it in just
per game.
A small context. You know, last night I think the Bucks had 20 assists. So they had 30.
And also I think they're playing Golden State tonight. Golden State is the leader, I believe, in assists per game, and they're right around 24 or 25. So it's beyond a little fluky run. They are sharing the ball a lot better.
Golden State has 30. They average 30.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, 30.6. I got it pulled up right here. New Orleans is second at 26,
stats.
Philadelphia 25, Washington tied for fourth with their recent surge with 24.7.
Gotcha. Mm.
Warriors a tough team to play on a back to back when you got to travel, from Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's going to be a toughie.
But they do tend to play up for these games.
They do. They play well against teams like that.
Yep. They get excited.
I'll be doing Wizards hang time and overtime tonight on NBC Sports Washington. And you know it's a big one because Easy Street is going to be DJing.
Nice.
Okay, if you say so.
He'll be.
I didn't know that's a huge deal.
Yeah, during the broadcast or during the arena?
Ah, yeah. Okay.
No, not at the arena.
Got it.
At NBC Sports Washington on the sixth floor in the lobby right there.
Understood.
Good.
Now I get it.
Good for them.
By the way, we're sleeping on the fact that it's now time for the cash flash for all the listeners. This hour's code word is simple. Text simple to 72881 before 7 a.m. this morning for your chance to win $1,000 in this multi-market contest. That's simple to 72881. Message and data rates apply. The next cash flash is at 7 a.m., and Pedro will give you the word for that.
I read something on social media, and I think it was a link to an article, and it was an opinion piece, but it was about Bradley Beal, who certainly has been playing really, really well all season long, but in particular in these last 13 games without Wall, he's averaging nearly 7 assists. I believe he had 8 dimes last night.
Yeah.
And it was an article about Bradley Beal emerging as the true leader of the team.
I don't see that happening when John comes back. John's just too much of an alpha male. I don't see it. I mean, I'm sure it's happening now. I don't see it when John comes back.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
That may be the core of why they have chemistry issues.
So here are Bradley Beal's numbers in the month of February. All right. I believe all without Wall.
Right.
Averaging 23, shooting 48%.
Jumper's not broke anymore.
5 boards, 7 assists.
Ooh, those are nice. Those are going up.
So you don't expect the 7 assists from Bradley Beal.
In the month of January, he was averaging 5 assists, so he's up 2. Now, he was averaging 25 a game in the month of January, so a little bit more than February, but he's more consistent across the board.
So the scoring's down a bit, but the assists and the rebounds are up.
Rebounds are up a tad, and the assists are up 2 again.
What about his swipes? How's he doing in that stat?
Yeah, he's averaging like 1.6.
It's not bad.
Up a tick from January. So just all across the board, he's just playing better. Free throw percentage, 88% compared to 78% in January. Playing like a true all-star in February, definitely.
They had 21-point advantage in the first quarter.
That's I think they got out to it was either like a 12-0 or 14-0 lead. I mean, they were just the Bucks just sleptwalked through the first few minutes of the game.
But it just shows you they had a 21-point lead and it's a 1-point game like 99-98.
That's what the Wiz major in is getting out to leads and then squandering them and letting the other team back into the game.
They had an amazing first quarter. Like they started off so hot.
They had 40 points in the first quarter.
But again, credit to the team, and we're talking about the way they passed the ball. I would say the key moment in the game is based off a pass at the end of the shot clock. Bradley Beal hits a 3-pointer where Markieff Morris has about a second left in the shot clock, gets it to Bradley Beal, and I didn't think Beal was going to make it because he had to rush that shot.
Massive shot.
He knocks it down, and that essentially wins the game for him.
I think it put the Wiz up like 5 with not a lot of time left on the clock. That was a big shot.
Yeah, unfortunately, Milwaukee then got a 3-point play right after that to make it a 2-point game.
There's always a sweat, JP.
Right, but that was the big shot.
Yeah.
Now, did the Bucks make their run in the third quarter against the Wiz first team or bench guys?
I think a little of both. Satoransky got into foul trouble.
He only played 7 minutes in the second half.
Yeah. Played 20 minutes for the game. But, it looks like the bench all had the minus, the plus minuses, and the Wiz were all in the plus, so. You know what? Good win. Good win.
Good
on the
win.
Road.
They're half game behind Cleveland for that third seed. I actually think for the Wizards to make it all the Eastern Conference Finals, I'd like them to stay in that 4 seed.
Because?
I'd rather not face Boston or Cleveland in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a good history against Toronto. They beat Toronto in the most recent matchup. Right now, the Raptors are the 1 seed. So if you get beyond the first round matchup, and who knows what that's going to be with the 4-5, it could be one of 3 teams. It could be Indiana, it could be the Bucks, it could be the 76ers. But if they get beyond that first round, I would rather face the Raptors, where you have a good history, versus Cleveland and LeBron, or the Celtics.
Assuming the Raptors hang on to the 1 spot.
Correct.
Because they're a half game up on Boston.
Correct.
You know, either way, you're going to play a really good team in that second round.
But good win for the Wizards and a good win for the Capitals last night.
That's a game we said they had to win.
A bounce-back win at home against an inferior opponent. Was that Grubby?
Grubby,
the net.
Called that one, didn't we?
It's a weird bit, man, where Grubby's winning all the time now and Holtby loses all the time.
Fine. If he gets hot, it doesn't matter. There's no favorites. If he gets hot, go with it.
So many penalties taken that game last night.
Oh, I think they had to kill seven penalties, right?
Sens were 1-for-7 on the power play, and they had 2 5-on-3.
Lazy legs.
Not one.
Lazy legs.
Two of them.
Tom Wilson scores again.
Cousy with 2, 19 on the year.
And he got in a fight.
That's what he does.
Yep.
He's having a hell of a year.
11 goals. I happened to watch a little of Caps Extra or Caps Overtime after the game. I saw that Cakes had tweeted a picture, and I was intrigued. And during one of the commercial breaks, I put it on NBC Sports Washington.
Yeah.
Man, people love being on TV.
Oh,
so Alan May and Rob Carlin are doing their stand-up.
Yeah.
From the arena, and there are so many people behind.
They're on the concourse.
And, right, in the concourse, just trying to get their face on TV.
So like 1990s?
You would think. Yeah. Now then, it's roped off, but the people are right there. They're right on top
off.
Of them.
I could tell Alan was a little bothered by it because there was one guy right behind Alan. Did you watch any of this?
Yeah.
Who was dancing. He kept like doing this little move.
People love to do bits.
And then there was a guy who had glasses on who clearly, if EB at the well 40 years ago could have done this, he would have done this. So it's a live shot. Now May and Carlin are talking about the game, and the guy's on his cell phone. He's clearly telling people to tune in, and he's poking his head in between the two.
Attention dollars. They love it.
That's what I did when the guy fell in the well in Bowie, and they were doing live coverage. I told my mom, put a tape in. I'm going to get on TV.
Who's doing the live shot?
Yeah, again, you're a kid.
But Wendy Rieger?
Probably 15.
Was Rieger doing the live shot?
I actually think Katie Kirk was there.
That's how long ago it was.
That's how long ago. Yeah. It was when she was still local with Channel 4.
Very good.
And Dave Statter, I believe, was one of the guys that was there.
No longer with us, is he?
Well, I don't know.
Is Dave Statter?
Not sure.
I think he just
killed him.
Oh, okay.
I think he's still here.
Longtime Junks listener.
Hey, make sure we correct that.
Longtime Junks listener, Woo. Was there with his son last night. I saw him behind the shot.
Oh, he got in the shot?
Oh, he was so in the right in the middle of the shot.
Mm-hmm. But people like the attention dollars when the TV cameras
they
are around.
They do love it.
Yep, they do.
They see that red light, they start going crazy. Can't contain themselves.
But big win because the Bucks. I looked at the standings yesterday. Had the Bucks beaten them, there would have been the Wizards, the Bucks, I believe the Pacers, and the Sixers all with the same amount of losses. It's so tight.
25. Yeah, you're right, because they're all within 2. 25, 26, and a couple at 27. But there's so much. I mean, not so much, but there's still 20 games left.
But it's fast.
So these numbers can flip-flop.
It's fast because the Wizards have a game tonight against Golden State. Then again, they're playing on Friday. They've played, 4 games in 6 nights right now. So this will be 5 and 7 nights.
Mm-hmm. That's a brutal schedule, by the way.
Just getting back to the Caps for a second. So I was reading this one of these blogs. I think with Japers Rink, they allow – I don't know if this guy's one of the staffers, but there's an article about the Caps and how they, in his opinion, Kevin Klein's opinion, who wrote this, they should fire Barry Trotz.
Right.
And it just talks about how it's all, in all likelihood, I mean, they're not going to do anything this year. I mean, just based on probability and the way they've played, it'll be 4 years in a row of swinging and missing. And then they talk about how they're kind of going backwards, 4-year bottoms in Cakes, in production, in shot generation, in shot suppression. All these different statistical categories where they're going backwards.
Right.
And, you know, there's no reason to think they're going to do anything in the playoffs. I think he's even suggesting you fire him now and try to get a jump start for the playoffs. Anything to kind of change up the mojo.
Wow.
Because you're not going to bring him back when he goes 0-for-4.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thinking here. Yeah, I'm a Barry Trotz guy, so I don't support that, but it's just interesting that those thoughts are out there.
Just hard to fire
guys. The wolves
guy
are with, circling.
It's hard to fire guys who win divisions all the time.
You're right.
Right? Or one or two seeds.
I like watching regular season games. It's all I can really hang on to at this point with the Caps.
Yeah.
I'm over winning divisions and hanging in division banners.
I'm just saying, it's tough to fire guys like that.
I agree. And I like Trotz too. But, I mean, if you can't get past a certain plateau in the playoffs, at some point, you got to start pointing the fingers at the head coach.
I'm against it. I'm a Barry Trotz guy.
I'm a Trotz guy, too.
Yeah.
But
It's interesting, though, that that's
out
there.
Is he going to get a 10-year run here if the Caps can't get out of the second round of the playoffs?
Probably not.
And I think they point to Bylsma when he was named interim head coach of the Penguins.
Okay.
Did they go off on a run?
I'm sure they did. They probably won a cup under him.
I think they did.
Right.
So annoying.
By the way, in the sports page later in the show, we got to talk about the sweat bet.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, it's just
I need
stuff,
an update.
More info.
Are we still hanging?
Still hanging tough.
Still alive.
Hanging tough.
For the new kids on the block. We're selling.
NKOTB right there, boy.
Right. All right, I got to talk to you about 5-hour energy. JP definitely needs a 5-hour so he can get alert and focus after staying up until 1 a.m. watching Wizards overtime. Probably watched a bunch of press conferences.
He's going to do it again tonight.
I know. I need one because I watched the Miami-Carolina game last night. Great ending. Great win for Coach L, by the way, on the
road.
Do
I need one?
You always need one. Just look at the Jeff Bagwells.
I know.
JP's going to need another one for tonight because he's going to be doing TV until like 3 a.m. I'll get him a berry flavor, maybe two or three of those.
Murray.
By the way, 5-Hour Energy is launching their Getting Back to 100% campaign with a unique twist on this year's College Hoops tournament. It's right around the corner, people. You have the ability to swap your nubby wrong selections during the tournament as the game is being played. You see an upset in the making, swap out the favorite to ensure your bracket is 100% correct. So go to wjfk.rtbrackets.com. That's wjfk.rtbrackets.com to sign up. And you can follow them on Twitter at 5-Hour Energy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Tarik El-Bashir covers the Caps for NBC Sports Washington. Join us at 7. Big win for the Caps last night. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, college hoops writer for Sporting News, studio analyst at Big Ten Network. It is Mike DeCourcy. And Mike's been coming on our show. We've been doing the show now, entering our 22nd year. I think he was on when we were a weekend show.
Yeah, from the beginning.
Thank you, Mike.
From the beginning.
We appreciate that.
How are you, buddy?
I was on when you guys were real juveniles and not just acting juveniles.
Right. Exactly.
That's a very good point.
That's been our staple. We've continued to do it for 2 decades.
Yeah, we've said over the years this show thrives on stupidity, and it hasn't really changed over 20-plus years.
Mike, you probably can't believe we're still on the air after 22 years.
Oh, I think it's an impressive achievement, absolutely.
Hey, so what are you doing up so early? Do you live in Chicago?
No, I live in Indianapolis.
Okay.
And I am on my way to New York City for the Big Ten tournament.
Gotcha.
This is your time right now.
That's right. What do you think about that? They obviously wanted to play it in New York, so they had to do it a week early because Big East is there, and so they crammed all these games in. I think their first conference games were probably early December. But man, this is weird to have the Big Ten tournament so early.
It is odd. I will certainly grant you that. But I will say this, the price of doing this was the occasional schedule compression for various teams, too many games in too few days. But I found it interesting that only, Monday night, that Mike Krzyzewski was saying, look how many games we had in so few days. And he doesn't play in the Big Ten, so apparently it's not only them.
Right. Do you think they'll do it again?
No, I'm not saying they will never go back to New York, but I don't think that will happen in the near term. I think they needed to reach out to the eastern portion of their conference.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how territorial some of the Midwestern Big Ten fans got about this move and last year's down to D.C. at the Verizon Center. If they feel like this is their tournament and they're only allowing Maryland and Penn State and Rutgers to play in it out of the goodness of their heart, well, those three schools are all, you know, full-fledged members. They were asked to join and you know, made significant alterations to their athletic histories and traditions to become Big Ten members. So for them to have this tournament near to them a couple of times doesn't seem to be that great a cost to pay for the league at large.
Yeah. Here's another kind of strange fact. Let's just say a team like Michigan would lose their first round game tomorrow because they would play the winner of Iowa, Illinois. All right. So that's March 1st, correct? Yeah. So let's just say Michigan to lose that game. Michigan's going to the tournament, obviously. They might have to wait 16 or 17 days before they play their first round tournament game. That's a huge layoff this time of year. I mean, it could be good for them too.
It would probably be a record because even the Big South champion or the Ohio Valley champion, traditionally those teams, those leagues have decided their championship on the earliest day, and that's always been the Saturday a week ahead of Selection Sunday. So that's 8 days before Selection Sunday and maybe 12 to 13 before their first game would be. That this would be even a few days beyond that. So that would certainly not be the best case scenario for Michigan. But honestly, almost, you know, it's quite possible that one of the Big Ten's four lock teams mm-hmm. could lose on Friday's quarterfinals, and it'd still be a longer layoff than what those leagues I talked about before have experienced. But I will say that I just don't see how that's necessarily a bad thing at this point.
Right.
The teams have made the Final Four. Wichita with a day long, you know, with the Missouri Valley has always been on the Sunday in advance of Selection Sunday. They made the Final Four in 2013. Butler and Gonzaga have made the Final Four with the championships decided on the Tuesday before Selection Sunday. So we've seen teams have great success in the NCAAs recently with very long layoffs in advance of their first game.
Talking College Hoops with Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, also a studio analyst at the Big Ten Network. So the last couple weeks, there's been a lot of discussion about the NCAA. You have the corruption case going on. You have players like LeBron James chiming in. Do you feel that we're closing in on a tipping point and that things might change with the one-and-done rule and players being paid possibly, that sort of thing?
I don't think, you know, I don't think that players will be paid per se at any time soon, probably not for a very long time. But it's not to say they may not be allowed to make money. I don't think that the NCAA can sustain the effort to keep agents out of their neighborhood, so to speak, any longer. They've lost the war. It's over, mm-hmm. and they lost badly. I mean, and they were beaten a long time ago, but now it's a complete rout. You know, it's quite clear that it's everywhere, and they can't continue to hold that off. So they have to make a change there. You know, it's interesting that you bring up the one and done rule. The falsehoods and the misinformation about the age limit rule are just—it's among the most unbelievable things I've seen in 35 years of sports journalism. I mean, there are so many lies told about that rule. There is so much misinformation about it. It's so misunderstood. The reality is, the college athletics, college basketball circumstance is today much more a product of the rookie salary cap than it is the age limit. Much more. The rookie salary cap has gone on for 20 years. It's the single worst rule the NBA ever passed. It's been bad for all levels of the game. And yet no one has decried that one thousandth of a percent as much as the age limit rule. The age limit rule has been fantastic for all levels of basketball. It's been really good for college to have guys like Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal and John Wall there in D.C. now play college basketball. It's been unbelievable for the NBA. 10 years ago, 11 years ago, when this thing started, the most valuable NBA team was worth $550 million. It's now worth over $3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a coincidence. It's partly a product of the NCAA continuing to mint stars for the NBA, and in exchange for doing that, for training and minting stars, what does the NCAA get? It gets bashed around by a coach and the biggest star in the league. It's ridiculous.
Well, hold on. I want you to explain more why the rookie cap has been so bad. I haven't thought about it, so explain it to me.
Okay. So in 1994, Glenn Robinson left.
Sure. Got $100 million, and I remember all that.
He didn't get $100. He asked for $100. He got about $60 and change.
Right, right.
And in today's dollars, it's like $115 million-ish.
Right.
In today's dollars, okay? So now the top rookie leaves college and gets, I believe, over the first 2 years, somewhere on the neighborhood of
what, 10 12 million or
to 14,
yeah,
I think.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Maybe 20 top.
Right.
I mean, it's a fraction.
Right.
of what they got then. And they get now a 2-year guarantee.
Right.
They used to get 4 when they first they've even made the rookie cap deal worse for the rookies. And so what happens is back then guys like, hey, if I get to be one like Big Dog or like C Webb or whoever, I get really paid. I mean, I better be ready to be number one, and I better be ready when I get in the league to make it work. And so what do we get? We got Penny Hardaway and Jason Kidd and C-Webb and, mm-hmm. and Shaq and all these guys who played multiple college seasons, and they entered the league as major stars and as ready to play, and they became great players at the NBA very rapidly, and they dumped that for in exchange for cost certainty and for cost limitation.
Right.
And so now you get in the first year of the rookie cap, you had Kevin Garnett go into the NBA, and then you had the parade of guys who did that. And high school guys were not as successful of players as the one-and-done guys have been.
Yeah, but why is that a product of the rules? Is that because they're just trying to get the clock started, get there before?
Yeah, trying to get the clock started. There's no value or little value in being as well-trained as was the case when there's not that great a disparity before. If you were like the ninth pick, you might get $8 million or less, as opposed to the 60 or 50 or 40 that you'd get for being 1 or 2 or 3. So there was a huge disparity there. Now you're 1, you're 10, you're 15, you're 20. It's not that big a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So guys just go when they think they can get picked.
So what can the NCAA do about the kids who have no intention of playing their sophomore years?
Well, I don't think that. First of all, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, if you're going there to get better, to better your station in life, I don't think there's any problem with it. The rules as they're written now, APR, things like that, they certainly punish the schools if the players don't complete their year. If you only go one semester and do the Ben Simmons thing,
mm-hmm.
That's an LSU issue. They should not have allowed him to get away with that, and they did. But other schools aren't allowing that. Kentucky has had 22, I believe, 20 or 21 or 22 one-and-done players under Calipari. 20 or only one guy in all that time has failed to complete his first full academic year, I should say. So it's again more misinformation spread around by people who have big microphones. Bob Knight used to say that it was never true. It's not that it's never been true of particular players, but the general practice has been, no, those guys are finishing their full year. They're as committed to that as anyone else. You know, no one yells at Harvard because Bill Gates didn't finish his career, or Texas because Michael mm-hmm. Bell checked out after a couple of years. I told a story that I heard on SiriusXM one time. Josh Groban went to Carnegie Mellon to major in musical theater. He didn't even last. I don't think he even completed his first semester because someone offered him a record deal.
Right.
I mean, it's just the way it is.
Well, no. Well, Mike, I was asking because I'm not saying they're not finishing their academic year. I'm saying they have no intention of playing their sophomore year. So those are the kids that are most vulnerable.
What's wrong with
that? No, there's nothing. But those are the kids that are most vulnerable to the agents.
Well, everybody, that's another thing. The idea that this is that agency deal is a one and done thing. Look at the list of players. There are multiple players on that list who are alleged to have accepted loans in the thousands of dollars who were multi-year college players who were not even first-round picks, who became second-rounders. There's one who accepted a smaller sum, allegedly, who was an undrafted free agent who played 4 years in college. So it's not just one-and-done guys. If you eliminate one-and-done, you do not solve any of this problem.
All right, so real quick. So you mentioned the Big Ten. You say four lock teams, Michigan State, Purdue, Ohio State, and Michigan. Nebraska's actually got the double bye, 13 conference wins. Nothing real sexy about their resume. Do you think that Tim Miles and the boys have a shot at an at-large?
They have a shot. They have to, at the very least, win on Friday in the quarterfinals. I don't think they can get in without another win. And without another quality win, which they most likely would get on Friday, presuming it's Michigan that gets out of the initial game. So they have to win that. And if they play Michigan State on Saturday, I think they at least have to give a good accounting of themselves. But I do think it's probably if a win, then you're probably in situation, and a lose. If you lose close, then you're sitting there just sort of hoping for everybody else to lose a million games, and there's only so many games left. I mean, UCLA has one game left prior to the Pac-12 tournament. I think some of the other bubble teams might have. We're pretty much down to one on almost all of them. Right. So they just had bad luck. They had a couple of opportunities on the road at Creighton, close but didn't get it done. Home Kansas, very close, didn't get it done. And then the schedules did break for them. They had one plays with all those lock teams I talked about, and only one of those games, one of those games against the other Big Ten top teams, was at home. So just not a lot of good fortune in that.
All right, go grab that flight to New York. Safe travels, man. We'll be watching.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate
it. Fellas. Always right. A pleasure.
Yep. All right, buddy.
Thanks, Mike. Mike DeCourcy, college hoops writer for the Sporting News,
good
studio
discussion.
Analyst, Big Ten Network. We will talk some Caps. Big win for them last night against Ottawa. Tarik El Bashir covers the Caps for NBC Sports Washington. He'll join us coming up at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, but I...
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. It's Game Show Wednesday. Presented by MGM National Harbor, their poker room. Lucky table drawing every Thursday morning, $200 every hour, drawn randomly per table for every player. We'll play top five at 8 a.m. for Game Show Wednesday. And also should know that every hour you got to listen to Pete's update, because it is the $12K a day cash flash. It's a multi-market contest, your chance to win $1,000. So a lot going on here. We got Tarik El Bashir is going to join us coming up in about 20 minutes to talk about the Caps' big win against Ottawa last night.
By the way, big night here locally for the Wiz, because anytime the Warriors are in town, it's just a showcase.
Should be a pretty electric atmosphere.
Yeah, because KD's coming back, and Curry and all those big stars. By the way, the Warriors 8.5-point favorites tonight.
What time is the tip?
Eight.
8 o'clock is the ESPN.
I think I
game.
Like the Wiz to cover at least.
What's you the over under?
You don't really. Like him to cover the eight?
Not
the
really.
Way they've been
coming
playing
off a big win. The last time they had back to backs off a big win was the win against Cleveland, and then they got spanked by Charlotte the next game.
Yeah, but that's a Charlotte thing, and they don't get up for them.
Yeah, but this is Golden State.
They're right, they're going to get up for them.
They're such a high scoring team, and Golden State right now, they're in a battle for the one seed in the West with Houston.
Golden State did have the night off last night.
I believe
night.
They were in town yesterday visiting the African American Museum.
Correct.
Allegedly, yes.
You mean they didn't go see Trump?
No, they chose
anyway,
not to.
So they had the night off. They chilled. They got to bed early. So that part does hurt your chances. But 8.5, 9 points,
what
man, that's a lot of points.
Over under. How many points are expected to be scored?
I want to say it's 227.
Kind of like the over
227. Well, anytime Golden
you
State
always
plays.
Say that. Though.
I always say that.
You
I can't
always
remember
like
last time I bet an under. I caught can't. The tail end of a piece. I was flipping through the channels yesterday. And it was a little bitter. It was kind of a table manners ripoff, whatever. Not that we created that, but it was Kevin Durant and Michael Beasley sitting down together, because Golden State, prior to this game, they were in New York.
Right.
And it was Beasley and Durant who grew up together, Maryland guys playing basketball.
Both from Cedar Pleasant.
Yeah, and I think they were talking about the NCAA and the one-and-done rule, kind of the things that we just talked to Mike DeCourcy about. I'm telling you, it feels like to me like it's a tipping point, like things are going to change, because now all of a sudden all these NBA players, whether it's LeBron, whether it's Durant,
okay, Michael Beasley doesn't have the credibility of some of those guys, but they were talking about what it's like. Durant, though, was saying, he's like, if you can't wait a year to get your money, he actually was kind of siding with the way things are.
I agree. I mean, I think they're creative. I mean, what is the big problem?
Like, Durant, I just got,
so,
I think it's just impatience.
So we're
going to
have a minor league where guys are going to just, I mean, go make 20K or 30K somewhere, and that's going to be a panacea? That's not going to help anyone.
That would be awful.
I think
it's
awful.
If you're a college basketball fan, obviously that's awful. I mean, you want to see those kids play and develop, and, you know, the coaching is probably going to be horrible in some developmental league. I don't like that, but it's hard to tell kids that they can't make money.
Right.
Just
both,
no, they should. They should probably eliminate the, like, it should be like anything else. Maybe it's like baseball, you know, where you have a decision to make. If you decide to enter college, you got to go for at least 2 years.
Yeah.
Let's say. So you can go out of high school, or you can wait 2 years and develop and play college basketball and have that experience.
Mm-hmm. But both Beasley and Durant,
before you're eligible again,
they pointed to their moms and they said that their moms would never take that money. But I did find it interesting, and I didn't see the whole piece. I just caught the tail end that Durant said, I guess when he was a high school senior, maybe he was a junior or whatever, he was living in an apartment, and he said his bedroom didn't have a door, and he's 6'9", and his brother was 6'7",
right?
Mm-hmm. In like a tiny little apartment.
Right, but making 20 G's from like the G League or something is not going to solve anyone's problem.
No, but an agent offering you 50K can change your life. All of a sudden, you're out of that apartment complex.
For a few moments, it can. For a few moments. I get it.
Where there's, you know, shots being fired on
a nightly
basis.
I'm not blaming the kids for taking the money per se. I get it.
It's hard to turn down money when you're a 17 or 18-year-old kid.
Right. But I don't know how you're going to change it.
That's not
I don't know how you're ever going to change it.
That's not going to change.
Unless, if you find the guys that do it, then you strip strip their licensures or whatever, and then never allowed to do it again.
Well, then the NBA would have to get involved in that, yeah.
Yeah.
But you also know this. When you're 16, 17, let's say you're in a top prospect. I mean, we all have teenage kids. They don't have grand perspective on things. I'm talking to my daughter about the difference between having 4 years of school paid for versus 4 years where you're taking loans.
That's true.
And
correct.
They don't think big picture because
correct.
They're 16,
that's why I say I don't blame fortunate. The kids per se. I really don't.
But they're very fortunate that when they get out of high school or college that they don't have any debt.
Right.
How about this? Why not just let these kids, all right, forget the whole taking money or paying them.
First of all, you can't pay them, and I don't think people understand that because you have non-revenue generating sports that it's just not going to work.
By the way, I mean, it's not a lot of money, but it's a misconception the kids don't get paid because they do get stipends. Power Five kids on full scholarships do get stipends. Now, it's probably not a lot of money per month, but they do
not
get a little
extra. Not a lot
extra.
To live on.
They get some spending money.
Well, what if you let them get jersey sale revenue, something
well,
like that?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Why not let kids do their own commercials? Do their own endorsements.
Like card signings, that sort of thing.
Yeah, if they're doing a car deal, get paid
that
way.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Thinking about it quickly, I don't have a problem with that.
And they can make an extra, you know, 30,
but you can't
40.
Have the university paying the basketball guys, but not the lacrosse guys, or not the field hockey girls.
I wouldn't have an issue with
that,
by the way. If you want to pay the revenue-producing sports and field hockey just doesn't get paid, I don't have a problem with that. If your sport isn't making money and isn't turning a profit, sorry, you just don't
get
paid.
But there are even some big-time, I mean, you know, Division I basketball programs that aren't making money.
Right.
And they won't be able to compete.
But I believe the same kids, like at Maryland, I believe the same amount of money is given to the football player as the girls lacrosse player.
You mean in terms of like a Pell Grant or
stipend,
stuff like that?
Whatever stipend, whatever. It could be different at each school, but I'm pretty sure that's all, because of Title IX, it's all even across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not a lot of money.
No, you might be talking about like $1,000 a semester or something.
Right. I'm just saying that I think that it's even across the board. But why not let the kids just make outside money and endorsements?
Well, the problem is it becomes, you know, then all of a sudden now someone else could come in and they way overpay, like Kentucky kids get way overpaid
that's
for their endorsements.
That's true. And they could get paid under the table. You have no idea.
Exactly. Yeah. Like opens up a whole new can of worms.
If you're recruiting someone, you can say, I can promise you, you'll do 10 of these appearances and you know, we'll buy X amount of jerseys for you to sell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You
I
come
know,
here.
It's just the way of kind of getting
you're
going to
have $10,000 appearances in your freshman year.
All right. Well, maybe there's a way to document it.
You can't compete. Like if you go to La Tech, they can't give you the same.
Or if you're in Wyoming.
Yeah.
Well, true. Well, those players aren't as good as the players that are getting paid. I mean, people want to pay the better players for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
It's capitalism. It's what it is. It's capitalism.
Yeah. I'm generally more for that than I am the university getting involved in paying it, because I just know you can't. That's not a sustainable model.
By the way, Cakes, do you know that the Cleveland Cavaliers, all right, are the worst covering team in the NBA?
I know now because you told me.
And when they are double-digit favorites, and they've been double-digit favorites 13 times this year.
Right.
Do you know, and they played the Nets last night, double-digit favorite.
Right.
Do you know what their record against the spread is in the 13 games they've been double-digit favorites?
I'm going to say 1-12.
0-13.
Wow, they haven't covered once?
They haven't covered once. And they are 19-41 against the spread. They are the worst covering team in the NBA. The Cavs, with LeBron, are the worst covering team at 19-41.
That's a tasty nugget you just served up. Not that I'm going to do anything with it, because I've 13 cents. I've lint in my account.
Could you imagine if they were point shaving? Like if a scandal came out? I saw a comedian said that Isaiah Thomas, who's now with the Lakers, was point shaving. I don't know if you saw the highlights. It's one of the worst plays I've ever seen. So Isaiah Thomas is taking the ball to the basket, and he clearly was about to get his shot blocked. So he just stops, and for a second or two, he's looking around, and then he just literally threw the ball over his head.
I mean, he got caught in a bad spot, didn't know what to do with the ball, put it up for grabs. He just put it up for grabs. I mean, I don't think he's taking money.
I don't think so either. He makes a good living. Doesn't need the point shave. I think it was Hannibal Buress.
The dogs who are potentially point shaving are the kids in college who have no money, not NBA mega millionaires.
I wouldn't think. But let's say Ty Lue was just making a couple adjustments. They get the wins,
right,
but they're not covering.
I mean, if Ty Lue is shaving points, then I can't watch the NBA ever again. I mean, if coaches are in on point shaving,
can you
imagine
if LeBron was getting $100 million this year for point shaving?
From like some Russian mobster?
Yeah.
Just,
he controls
although it's
the game
hard.
So
I mean, he gets triple doubles all the time.
Yeah,
so.
It's true.
They had another one last night.
Yep.
But that would be.
Well, the good thing is that our superstars are so well compensated for that you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
There's no need for them to risk any of that or something like that. But so, the college guys are always vulnerable.
We'll see if things change because, like I said, you've got top players now in the NBA talking about it. I think LeBron James is even getting more attention because his son, I was watching the highlights, Bronny's absurd. Mm-hmm. They're going to play in the NBA together. Mm-hmm. I think LeBron's going to stay in the NBA till his son's in the NBA. You figure he just won a middle school championship, so he got 4 years of college, 1 year of college, or 4 years of high school, 1 year of college, 5 years. LeBron will be 38, 39 years old.
I mean, that's doable. I do think that they're going to eliminate the 1 year requirement before then, though, in the next 4 years.
And just allow the guys to go straight in.
And then maybe to give college basketball still some strength. And you know, if you do go, you've got to stay 2 years. That's like what they do in baseball. It seems to work great. If you want to, you can be drafted after high school, and then if you decide to go to college, you got to stay 3 years.
I thought baseball was three.
It is three, I'm just saying for basketball, let's make it two.
Make
it two.
Jason, you follow the rankings. Maybe they don't do rankings of middle schoolers. Is Bronny one of the best kids in high school hoops?
I would assume.
I'm sure he is. Those lists are embarrassing, but I'm sure
he is. How old
is
he? 12? He's a middle schooler.
So 12, maybe?
12 or 13.
Yeah. I was watching the highlights with my son, and he was like, can he dunk already? I was like, he's pretty close.
I assume he's
playing with a bunch of little white kids.
I mean, my son goes to school with a kid in middle school, eighth grader, dunking in games,
right.
Dunking in people's faces in game. Well, not
middle
even
school,
not even in their faces because the other kids can't get up that high. He's dunking in games.
What's the middle school?
Redland Middle School.
Redland's a powerhouse.
I don't know if they're a powerhouse, but this kid's a powerhouse.
Well, right.
He's 13 and he's dunking in games.
Well, that's what happened to us when we played for South Bowie, and we would go play like Oxon Hill.
Well,
or
those
Silver
guys
Hill.
Are 17.
Those guys are dunking in warm-ups.
Those guys are driving to the games. They were shaving at halftime. I'm sure they were the same age as us.
We're in eighth grade, and our big center, he was like, you know, maybe 6 foot. He was too scared to even show his armpit hair.
Wear a t-shirt, Richie. Games. Yeah. His name is Richie. I'm not even picking that up. Richie, wear a t-shirt.
He was so embarrassed.
Put your arms up. We need your help.
He was
You're
so embarrassed by his armpit hair that he played like this.
He played like a T-Rex. He'd go for the rebounds like this.
He didn't want to show his armpit hair. Meanwhile, the other team's dunking.
And I'm just yelling from the bench because I was never playing. Put your hands up. Grab
a
board.
Coming up next, we will get into the Washington Capitals stretch drive. For them, they bounced back with the win against Ottawa last night. Tarik El-Bashir, NBC Sports Washington, next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.